Capital Report is underwritten in part by Hopping Green and Sam's, saluting its client, Walt Disney World, for its $28 million of philanthropic support each year for children and families in Central Florida. I'm Gary Hunter of Hopping Green and Sam's.
And the Able Trust, encouraging businesses to hire someone with a disability. More information about the benefits of hiring people with a wide range of abilities is available on the web at lookatmyability.org. The Able Trust. Because people want to work. WFSU-FM Tallahassee and other Florida Public Radio stations. From the state capitol, the Florida Public Radio Network brings you Capitol Report.
Mitt Romney accepts his party's nomination for president at the Republican National Convention in Tampa.
Our children deserve it. Our nation depends on it. The peace and freedom of the world require it. And with your help, we will deliver it. Let us begin that future for America tonight.
The convention saw its share of interruptions, including a tropical storm that forced Governor Rick Scott to cancel his gigs.
I was honored to be able to have the opportunity to speak on behalf of the state and talk about all the great things that are happening in the state. But the most important thing right now is to keep everybody that lives in our state, everybody that's visiting our state, safe.
Republicans are pulling out their big guns to say there is no such thing as a war on women. And former Republican Governor Charlie Crist tries to steal the spotlight with his endorsement of President Barack Obama. I'm Tramell Gomes, and that's all coming up on Capitol Report. After a whole lot of uncertainty, there were plenty of big speeches here at the Republican National Convention to formally help cement the GOP presidential ticket of Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. It all came down to the final night where Mitt Romney was about to address the nation unopposed for the first time. But right before that very moment, several political heavyweights took a hand in helping to introduce Mitt Romney, including former Florida Governor Jeb Bush, who spoke in defense of his brother, George W. Bush.
So, Mr. President, it is time to stop blaming your predecessor for your failed economic policies. You were dealt a tough hand. You were dealt a tough hand, but your policies have not worked. In the fourth year of your presidency, a real leader would accept responsibility for his actions, and you haven't done it.
Florida Senator Marco Rubio took the stage and focused his message on American exceptionalism.
Here's why I say that, because for those of us who are born and raised in this country, sometimes it becomes easy to forget how special America is. But my grandfather understood how different America was from the rest of the world because he knew life outside America. Tonight, you will hear from another man who understands what makes America exceptional. Mitt Romney knows America's prosperity didn't happen because our government simply spent more money. It happened because our people used their own money to open a business.
It was jam-packed on the floor of the convention in a sea of who's who listening to all the speeches. Governor Rick Scott, who wasn't planning on attending any of the events because of Tropical Storm Isaac, showed up to greet delegates from the other states.
It was good to see your leadership down here.
So I'm hearing that. People are saying you did a great job this week, focusing on this.
Well, what I've been worried about is I want to make sure that everybody... it's safe. It's the biggest issue I'm dealing with. And so that's what we end up doing. We focus on safety of everybody.
And then it was finally time. Mitt Romney took the stage to accept his party's nomination for president, declaring that Obama failed.
Does the America we want borrow $1 trillion from China?
No!
Does it fail to find the jobs that are needed for 23 million people and for half the kids graduating from college?
No!
Are those schools lagging behind the rest of the developed world? And does America that we want succumb to resentment and division among Americans? The America we all know has been a story of the many becoming one, uniting to preserve liberty, uniting to build the greatest economy in the world, uniting to save the world from unspeakable darkness. Everywhere I go in America, there are monuments that list those who have given their lives for America. There's no mention of their race, their party affiliation, or what they did for a living.
And with all that in the bag, Republicans are now hoping their efforts this week will give Mitt Romney a bump in the polls. So as you've just heard, the Republican National Convention wrapped things up with Mitt Romney accepting the party's nomination for president as planned. But Regan McCarthy reports the convention as a whole went off with more than its fair share of stops, starts, and interruptions.
The Republican National Convention in Tampa got interrupted before it began with what turned into Hurricane Isaac, forcing officials to cancel the first day of convention events. The storm only skirted the convention area, but in an abundance of caution, officials reshuffled speaker schedules. Florida Governor Rick Scott was supposed to speak Monday, but in the end, the governor opted out of speaking altogether.
I was honored to be able to have the opportunity to speak on behalf of the state and talk about all the great things that are happening in the state. But the most important thing right now is to keep everybody that lives in our state, everybody that's visiting our state, safe.
And Isaac wasn't the only interruption. U.S. Senator Marco Rubio addressed the Florida delegation early in the week, talking about the importance of the state's support and getting to the polls.
So much of these campaigns are decided on the margins. It basically comes down to the people that we know who may not vote unless you get them there. And we've had close elections in Florida. We had one that was like 500 and something votes close. And now we're not planning that this time around.
But it wasn't long before Rubio, who thought he was speaking to a friendly Republican crowd, was interrupted.
Hey, Rubio, we the representatives of the working class demand that the GOP stop pouring themselves out to the big money interests.
Republican convention goers drowned the protester out with boos and chants. The man was escorted out. Rubio got restarted and was interrupted again, this time by a woman. The senator was interrupted a total of four times at the breakfast by members of a group called Stand Up Florida. Officers gave the protesters trespassing warnings and escorted them from the area. But Rubio took the comments in stride, laughing them off. Here he is responding to the first protester.
Well, I guess he's not happy with the hotel assignment, but
The hotel where Florida's delegation is staying created its own set of problems.
We held our primary early against RNC rules, and so they penalized us. One of the penalties, they would say that they did not put us this far out as a result of our early primary. That's probably nonsense, but it doesn't matter. The resort here, the people of Innisbrook have treated us really well. It's been a great experience. The only thing painful is the bus ride in. It's a long ride for our delegates.
That's Republican Party of Florida Chairman Lenny Curry. The distance from the hotel to the convention site means Florida delegates have to take two sets of buses to get to the convention area. Here's Delegate Susie Wiles.
So we take a bus to the stadium, and then we get on another bus and come here.
Wiles says taking two buses isn't a problem unless the first bus doesn't show up.
So that's what happened this morning. And I'm sure there's, you know, a lot going on, and as I say, we are far away.
Wiles says because of the bus confusion, the Florida delegates almost missed the vote to nominate Mitt Romney as a Republican candidate. She says they made it with just minutes to spare before the 2 o'clock roll call. But overall, despite some bumps along the way, officials call the convention a success. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Regan McCarthy.
Still to come on Capitol Report, Republicans are trying to position themselves as the party for women voters.
Because there is definitely a gender gap. Women tend to support Democrats in general, and they are supporting Obama more than Romney.
And swooping in to try and steal some of the spotlight is former Florida Republican Governor Charlie Crist, who announced this week he's supporting President Barack Obama.
It appears to me that he's trying to reinvent himself politically, either to run for office or who knows.
And you'll hear how medical malpractice reform is likely to once again consume lots of time and energy in the Florida legislature.
The system we're proposing, the one we'd like to move forward, would replace the court-based system.
Both Republicans and Democrats are trying to position themselves as the party for women voters. Democrats are blasting the Republican Party for socially conservative positions on issues such as abortion and birth control. But as Lynn Hatter reports, Republicans are deflecting those claims and trying to put the spotlight on the president's handling of the economy instead.
It's the moms who have always had to work a little harder to make everything right. It's the moms of this nation, single, married, widowed, who really hold this country together.
Ann Romney, wife of GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney, set the tone for the party's appeal to women voters during her speech to Republican convention goers.
We're the mothers. We're the wives. We're the grandmothers. We're the big sisters. We're the little sisters, and we are the daughters. You know it's true, don't you? I love you, women!
In 2008, 10 million more women cast votes than men, and 56% of the female vote went to President Obama. Florida State University political scientist Carol Weissert says Republicans need to narrow that gender gap.
The Republicans need to court the women's vote. Because there is definitely a gender gap. Women tend to support Democrats in general, and they are supporting Obama more than Romney. So that is a demographic that the Republicans are very interested in getting.
And to get those female voters, the Republican Party has a clear-cut strategy. Stay focused on the economy and jobs, and away from social issues like banning abortion and defunding Planned Parenthood. Those proposals have made it into the GOP's official platform, but Florida Republican Party Chairman Lenny Curry says just because it's in there doesn't mean it's the focus of the conversation.
Folks have brought up and will be bringing up the Republican platform, and platforms matter. Parties have to have a base to start from, but platforms don't represent the entire electorate of a party. And this election will be about Mitt Romney's ideas and his plan and what he believes. And they're not always in 100% agreement with the platform, and that's okay.
And FSU's Carol Weissert says keeping the talking points separate from the social stances is a good move for the GOP.
It's sad but true that nobody pays much attention to the platforms. The platforms are primarily for the diehard members of the party, and the diehard members of the party are probably more interested in these social issues. So I think they're pretty safe in the sense that people just don't pay that much attention to the platforms.
Meanwhile, Republican women are firing back against Democratic claims that the GOP is waging a so-called war on women. Florida Attorney General Pam Bondi says she believes claims that the party doesn't support women are ridiculous.
Because all the women I talk about, they care about the same things that we all care about. Jobs, the economy. Poverty is at an all-time low now for women. 401,000 women have lost jobs under Barack Obama.
Every time somebody brings up the issue of the war on women, which I think is a war for women, it's just a distraction. That's not important.
Cynthia Henderson is the vice president of the Florida Federation for Republican Women. Even as the party tries to avoid such things, every once in a while the social issues pop back up. Take the recent incident of Missouri Congressman Todd Akin. He's under pressure to drop out of his Senate race for saying that, quote, legitimate rape rarely leads to pregnancy. Those comments set off a firestorm of controversy and led Republican Party leaders, including GOP presidential nominee Mitt Romney, to condemn the remarks. Florida's Republican Party Chairman Lenny Curry says that's a conversation the party can't afford to have right now.
The issues facing us today are the economy, the spending, and the entitlements, and we need to focus on fixing those issues. And then I think most people would agree that we can fight these other battles and wars in the years ahead.
Curry says he expects the presidential race to be tight, especially in battleground states. Mitt Romney needs to win Florida in order to beat President Obama in November. Polls like one done earlier in the month by CBS News found when it comes to the top issues voters care about in 2012, social issues don't even break into the top of the list. Next up are health care, Medicare, the federal budget deficit, taxes, foreign policy, and housing. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Lynn Hatter.
Allstate Insurance is suing a South Florida brain injury rehab center to recover almost $8 million in fraudulent claims. As Jessica Palumbo reports, the Florida Institute for Neurological Rehabilitation, or FINER, is also being investigated for accusations of resident abuse and is being cited for illegally housing 50 people. But lawyers for FINER say it has an exemplary record of care and they're confident it will be cleared of any wrongdoing.
A Bloomberg News investigation into the Florida Institute for Neurologic Rehabilitation, or FINER, found that since 1998, the rehab center has been suspected of abuse or neglect in five resident deaths. And the Department of Children and Families has verified 37 abuse incidents since 2005. But last year, when a 24-year-old woman died, the state dropped its investigation after concluding it didn't have significant legal power in the case. Finer's lawyer, Jay Adams, says it's a zero-tolerance facility.
Anyone who has an allegation of abuse made against them is immediately suspended from contact with the residents. Anyone who has a verified complaint is immediately fired. Most of the verified complaints actually have been called in by Finer itself.
But Disability Rights Florida CEO Bob Whitney says his advocacy group is so concerned, it's requesting an emergency meeting with state healthcare regulators at the Agency for Healthcare Administration, or ACA.
There may very well be a need for some more robust statute, perhaps legislative effort to give the state the oversight authority that we think they should be exercising.
ACA spokeswoman Molly McKinstry says the state did a surprise investigation of Finer in early August, and they didn't find abuse or neglect. But they're ordering the release of about 50 patients who they say violate Finer's license as a so-called transitional living facility.
In other words, they do not have brain or spinal cord injuries.
Under state law, Finer can only treat people with those types of injuries. But its lawyer, Adams, is asking a judge to throw out the law and let the 50 people stay.
We're unable to see any reason why the state of Florida would say, well, you're allowed to get that treatment if you've had a traumatic head injury. But if your head injury is caused by non-traumatic causes, such as stroke or anoxia, then you're not allowed to access the services.
State regulators also say they're concerned the center isn't planning to eventually release the people it's supposed to be rehabilitating, which is exactly what Allstate charges in its fraud lawsuit against Finer and its CEO, Joe Brennick. The lawsuit reads, quote, Finer did nothing more than warehouse patients with no meaningful treatment or progress, end quote. Patients are placed at Finer from all over the U.S. And the lawsuit also charges Brennick faked medical records for several Michigan patients while billing Allstate $1,000 per day under Michigan's unlimited personal injury protection law. The suit also says Finer aggressively and falsely marketed its services in Michigan to attract patients to the Wauchula, Florida facility. Walter Dartland, director of the Consumer Federation of the Southeast, says he wants the state to investigate whether other insurance companies or Medicare have been defrauded as well.
We hope the statewide prosecutor out of the Attorney General's office, the chief financial officer at Water, and the Insurance Fraud Division, and the Consumer Advocate and Insurance Department will also take a serious look at this.
In addition to the $7.6 million in fraudulent claims Allstate is seeking, it's also seeking triple that amount from Brennick under federal racketeering laws. If charged and found guilty in criminal court, he could go to prison. Brennick declined an interview through his spokesperson, but his lawyer, Wayne Miller, provided a statement that reads, quote, I'm confident that this matter will ultimately be resolved in Finer's favor, but cannot go into the details of ongoing litigation, end quote. Lawyers for Allstate also declined an interview, but said their fraud investigation continues and they expect to seek further damages. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Jessica Palumbo.
You're listening to Capitol Report on the Florida Public Radio Network. I'm Trimel Gomes at the Republican National Convention in Tampa. A move to reform the way Florida deals with medical malpractice cases went nowhere during this year's legislative session. But Tom Flanagan reports reform supporters are already gathering their forces for the 2013 session.
Among the many issues that seem to come back again and again before the Florida legislature, liability matters rank right up near the top of the heap. A few years ago, property insurance was front and center. In the 2012 session, personal injury protection, or PIP coverage, consumed lots of legislative oxygen. And with more than 6 months to go before Florida's 2013 lawmaking session, it seems medical malpractice reform will be up for what will probably be some contentious debate.
The system we're proposing, the one we'd like to move forward, would replace the court-based system.
That's Dr. Jeffrey Siegel. He's with a group called Patients for Fair Compensation. Siegel says Florida's present setup for dealing with medical liability, malpractice if you prefer, is a pain, first for patients.
If you believe you've been injured, you find an attorney, and they take your case and they propel it in court,
And the likelihood of you prevailing over time is low. It's about 20 to 30%. That first assumes that you can find an attorney to take your case, which means that if you've been the damages aren't particularly high. If the injuries aren't on the order of hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, it's almost impossible to find an attorney to take your case.
Siegel, who has both medical and legal degrees, says the present court-based system also drives up health care costs as doctors practice something called defensive medicine.
Defensive medicine is the practice of medicine done solely to keep a doctor from being sued.
Siegel says this costs money, lots and lots of money.
So in Florida in particular, the cost of defensive medicine runs up to about $30 billion each year. That is a whopping sum. And the cost of defensive medicine for the various payers is approximately $9 billion for Medicare, about $7.5 billion for Medicaid.
And the rest is borne by patients, either by way of more out-of-pocket payments or higher health insurance premiums. Siegel says Patients for Fair Compensation has a better and certainly cheaper way of handling medical liability than the present court-based setup.
The case would be reviewed by a panel of experts, namely physicians and administrators, people who are aware of all of the medical issues within this particular case. And if they say, yes, we believe that avoidable harm occurred, the case would then move forward to a compensation committee who would look at a chart and say, based on your injury, this is the amount you would be given.
Siegel's group hired the German healthcare economics firm Bioscience Valuation to calculate how much this might save. The company pegged the first year savings for Florida healthcare at around $1.5 billion, a number the study said could eventually hit $16 billion. And Siegel says the process of turning these findings into real-life change is well underway.
The bill has been proposed. Sponsors are in place.
Passage of the bill may be no cakewalk, however. Among the potential opponents are insurance companies that sell malpractice policies and trial attorneys. Multiple calls to the Florida Justice Association, which represents the state's trial lawyers, went unreturned, but the association did have a related position paper on its website. According to that paper, the association wants no law that would cap patient compensation at what it calls unreasonably low levels. It likewise is against any requirement that patients sign away their right to sue before receiving medical treatment. If all this hits the legislative floor this coming spring, it will make for an interesting session. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Tom Flanagan.
Finally, now back to politics. Former Florida Governor Charlie Crist says he shares President Barack Obama's vision for the future of this state and the nation. And in addition to his recent endorsement of the president, the former Republican is also speaking at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina next week. But as Sasha Cordner reports, many Florida GOP leaders say Crist is a turncoat who is just trying to make a political comeback.
He has said that our party left him. Well, that's nonsense based on his record.
Republican Party of Florida Chairman Lenny Curry is responding to a recent op-ed article written by former Governor Charlie Crist. In that article, Crist endorsed President Barack Obama, saying he's still the right man to lead the nation in the state of Florida. But some people, like Curry, do not believe the endorsement of the former Republican is genuine.
It appears to me that he's trying to reinvent himself politically, either to run for office or who knows.
Curry says to set the record straight, Crist left the Republican Party, not the other way around. Crist changed his registration to no party affiliation in 2010 when he decided to run in a U.S. Senate race against Senator Marco Rubio. Now there's even speculation he may be trying to run as a Democrat against Governor Rick Scott in 2014. Crist's recent endorsement of Mr. Obama, as well as his speaking engagement at the Democratic National Convention, also has drawn a lot of criticism in the form of jokes during the Republican National Convention in Tampa. During a breakfast with the Florida delegates, House Speaker-designate Will Weatherford took a jab at Crist, drawing a comparison between the former Republican governor and Isaac, a tropical storm at the time.
Speaking of, you know, winds blowing and people shifting positions, the Florida Republican Party had a former member of the Republican Party by the name of Charlie Crist, who's decided not to be a part of our party anymore.
And as the program continued, Florida Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam joined in, giving Florida Congresswoman and Democratic National Committee Chairwoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz a backhanded compliment.
Charlie Crist has just accepted a speaking invitation at the Democratic National Convention. And all I could think was, at least Debbie stands for something, even if it's wrong. What does he stand for other than himself? It's unbelievable. He'll wear any costume just to get in the parade.
While Chris has not yet responded to his critics' remarks, he did speak to Chris Matthews, the host of MSNBC's Hardball. Chris gave a brief preview of what he'll be talking about at the Democratic National Convention.
Well, I'm going to talk about the president, and I'm going to talk about the fact that he has really led us in a very difficult time. Obviously, he inherited a real mess, and the fact that he has worked across the aisle, helped us in Florida when I was a Republican and didn't really care about, you know, the partisanship of it at all.
Chris also tried to put the rumor surrounding a gubernatorial run in 2014 against Governor Rick Scott to rest.
You think you might run against him next time?
I don't. I don't think so. I'm enjoying the private sector very much.
But RPOF Chairman Lenny Curry is not so sure that Crist will be staying on the sidelines and says he wants Democrats to beware.
We want to make sure that Democrats understand what they're getting in Charlie Crist. Because I care, outside of politics, I care about the state of Florida. And look, if Charlie Crist is not a Democrat now, there's some speculation as to whether or not he'll become one. But if the party, if voters in the primaries of the Democratic Party or even the base want to embrace someone that is pro-life, pro-gun, anti-gay marriage, anti-civil union, okay, that's their opportunity and their choice. Sounds a heck of a lot like the Republican Party to me, though.
Crist is not the only person to leave his party and get a speaking slot at the convention for his former rival party. Arthur Davis is a former Democratic congressman who seconded Obama's nomination at the Democratic National Convention in Denver in 2008. Davis, though, recently became a Republican and spoke at the RNC in Tampa. Crist is scheduled to speak at the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, which starts September 4th, a day after Labor Day. For Florida Public Radio, I'm Sasha Kordner.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Sasha Kordner, Tom Flanagan, Lynn Hatter, Regan McCarthy, and Jessica Palumbo. Thanks also to the contributing stations along the Florida Public Radio Network. Taylor Cox provides technical assistance for Capitol Report, and I'm Tramell Gomes at the Republican National Convention in Tampa, inviting you to join us next week as we broadcast from the Democratic National Convention in Charlotte.
Audio copies of Capitol Report are available by calling 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. You can also hear Capitol Report online, including archives of past shows, at fprn.org.
Capitol Report is underwritten in part by Hopping Green and Sam's, saluting its client Walt Disney World for its $28 million of philanthropic support each year for children and families in Central Florida. I'm Gary Hunter of Hopping Green and Sam's.
And the Able Trust, helping donors make a difference through planned giving, putting donations to work so people with disabilities can too. On the web at abletrust.org. The Able Trust, because people want to work. WFSU-FM Tallahassee and other Florida public radio stations. This is the Florida Public Radio Network.